to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, my friends. It is the Political Cesspool on AM 1380 WLRM radio in Memphis, Tennessee, and going out around the world on our internet website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We're also being simulcasted to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, and the Liberty News Radio Network is also responsible for our satellite and, previously mentioned, internet feed. So many ways to listen. We're glad that you're here. We're in the vortex. Winston, I tell you, it goes by so fast. Only an hour left in tonight's Dynamite edition of the Cesspool. So let's get right back down to work. Of course, we made mention earlier tonight that Jared Taylor and Officer Jack McLam were previously listed as our featured guest for two different reasons. We had to reschedule. I had a nice long phone conversation with Jared a couple of days ago, and had to reschedule him due to a scheduling conflict. We rescheduled McLam because Eddie Miller was assigned with conducting that interview during tonight's third hour, and Eddie got sick. So Winston came in. That's when we carry a couple of co-hosts, and we've got Old Faithful, one of our all-time favorite guests, Reverend Ted Pike, the executive director of the National Prayer Network. He will be on with us in just a couple of minutes. Winston, how many times do you think Ted has appeared on this show since 2004?
Probably about as many times as you have. he's been on a lot, but you know you just can't go wrong having Reverend Pike on.
No, there's a reason.
He always has good information. People can accuse him of all kinds of things, racism, anti-Semitism, hate-mongering, but no one can ever disprove what he says, and not because he does it so craftily, but because it's just there. He doesn't have to make this stuff up. He doesn't have to manipulate the data. It's there. And he's going to present us tonight with some pretty shocking news, especially those of you who are casting a hopeful eye towards the Tea Party movement.
Well, we're going to find out the investigative work that Reverend Pike has done in just a few minutes. But before we go there, Winston, I know you and I were talking earlier in the day about interesting wouldn't even be the word, a pretty despicable story pertaining to Bible verses on the sites of the rifles that the American military uses. That's not what the despicable part is. Winston, fill in everyone from the very beginning, though.
Excuse me, James. The rifle scope story?
Yeah. Let's go into that from the beginning. Tell them what's going on there and then what happened.
Well, apparently there's this defense contractor, the Trijicon. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Trijicon. Trijicon's the company that make probably the finest rifle scopes in the world. In fact, the world uses them. Armies all over the world use these scopes because they are so good. With these scopes, you can pinpoint a target in day or night. This is good military hardware. But the company, over the past few decades, has had a habit of putting scripture references along with some other alphanumeric information on the scopes. This, of course, is going to anger some people. And the person that it has angered most is a man named Mikey Weinstein, right? Mikey Weinstein. You might get the idea that he is neither a Presbyterian nor a Southern Baptist. Well, Mikey Weinstein is the head honcho, the big chief organization called the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. So here is this guy who is not a Presbyterian, not a Southern Baptist. Let's just come right out and say it. He's a Jew, right? He's a Jew, and he has broken this story, and he is out to save the world from these evil scopes that have saved probably untold hundreds of thousands of American lives. But he is saying that this was an outrageous stamping Christian references on rifle scopes used by the U.S. military. Mikey Weinstein.
And Weinstein is whining about these New Testament Bible verses on these scopes. And they've been doing it for years. That's the thing. They didn't just start doing it and they all of a sudden, you know, instantly complained about it. They, this company had been stamping these scripture verses for years. And now
and they've been telling people about it too. They don't advertise it. The company president said, but when asked about it, he said, "Yeah, we say it's there."
Well, I would want a New Testament verse on my gun if I was going into war. But that's just me. And hats off to this company for providing that. I don't have a problem at all in a once Christian nation that there are Christian companies out there that have good government contracts. I wish there were more of them. But this Weinstein guy. What did he say? Do you have the quote, Winston?
He has said lots of things about this. He said it was an unconstitutional disgrace of the highest magnitude to our military and an action that clearly gave additional incentive and emboldenment to recruiters of our nation's enemies.
All right, so you got this one.
He said it's nothing short of a vile national security threat.
Vile.
Our nation's efforts.
Vile, despicable. These are all his words. Now, this is a radical anti-American, anti-Christian Zionist that we're talking about here. How many American military personnel do you think have used these scopes, Winston? How many of them do you think have a problem, the same problem that Mr. Winey has?
Oh, probably not a one of them. But, you know, James, when I first read this story, my mind immediately went to the movie Saving Private Ryan, and the sniper character in that movie had a habit of quoting scripts before he pumped a little lead into some German's skull. The first time he was taking aim at a German sniper in a tower, and he had his scope trained on the German sniper, and he quotes, I think it was Psalm 25, verse 2, where he says, "Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let not mine enemies triumph over me." And then he puts a bullet through the other guy's scope and into his eyeball and his brain. That's what I thought of, and then what I thought of was how this Mikey Weinstein, you know, I could say that all day, James, Weinstein, he has this big, big problem with script references on rifle scopes, but I'm sure he has no problem whatsoever with a huge menorah on the White House lawn, a menorah so large that it took Rahm Emanuel and a Zionist fundamentalist rabbi, they had to use a cherry picker to get up to the thing to light it.
Yeah,
I'm sure
now,
Mikey Weinstein has no problem with that.
Now Weinstein doesn't have a problem with a menorah so big it blots out the sun. You have to have a crane, literally, to raise you up there to where you can light the thing. And now there's no problem there. There's no despicable, unconstitutional church and state issue there.
Church and synagogue.
Yeah,
synagogue
right.
And state. Synagogue
but see,
and state.
No, he doesn't have a. There's no problem to be had there. And of course, you know, it goes without saying, or it should be reminded, that it was under the Bush administration when this began. They removed the nativity scene under the George Bush presidency and started putting up that 500-foot menorah. But no, I'm sure that doesn't offend Mikey Weinstein's sensibilities in the least, Winston.
No, it doesn't, because Mikey Weinstein is a Zionist fundamentalist, just like the rabbi is who lights a thing, just like Rahm Emanuel is. And these are the people
that's
who...
President Winston. I have to chide you there. That's President Emanuel to you.
Oh yeah, you're right, and you got me. And that mulatto in there is just his little pet goy.
But nevertheless.
Well, James,
what was the final score to this story? Are they going to remove the Bible verses now because this one Zionist has a problem? Do we know?
Of course they are.
Okay.
Of course they are.
I thought that they would.
I mean, not do so would make this company anti-Semites who are out to gas 6 million Jews.
Right. Yeah. That's true. So yeah. I guess that's that. So you got. You got one radical Zionist who has a problem with Bible verses, and a company A military contractor has to change his longstanding policy because one Zionist gets on TV and complains about Bible verses. How many Christians would it take that have a problem with the Talmud complaining about the menorah? How many Christians would it take before the White House stops putting that up, Winston?
excuse me, James.
We got 5 seconds.
Well, I would say not very many.
We'll be back right after this. Ted Pike! Ted Pike's going to be with us. Reverend Pike. Right after this. Stay tuned. We'll come back right after this.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Winston, as you well know, we have a very special man and a very dear friend on the line with us now, and I'd like to turn it over to you to introduce him.
Well, my friends, what can I say? This is Reverend Ted Pike is the president of the National Prayer Network, and he is the political cesspool's go-to guy in all matters related to Zionism and how Zionism is trying to destroy our country. I could say a lot about Reverend Pike, how he is a superb advocate for the United States and for our people. He is a darn good poet and a fine scholar and an equally fine painter. You can see samples of his work at the website www.truthtellers.org. So without further ado, it's my pleasure to welcome to the political cesspool once again Reverend Ted Pike. Reverend, it's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Well, thank you so much. Is this James or Winston?
This was Winston.
Oh, hey, yeah. But I'm here too, Ted, so okay. you're in good hands.
All right.
But James doesn't matter.
No, I don't matter tonight. But no, we're both here with you, Reverend Pike, and it's great to have you back. Happy New Year.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, I haven't been doing too much broadcasting since the hate bill passed the Oval Office, but I've been doing a lot of writing, and we're continuing to monitor things very closely, particularly events in the Middle East as well as many other issues. People can, of course, go to truthtellers.org and read my latest articles. I have at least one coming out every week there, keeping everybody on the cutting edge of what's happening.
And before Winston begins the formal interview with you, Reverend Pike, congratulations, or please convey our congratulations to the newly married staffer you've got over there.
Oh, yes. Well, Harmony Grant has married a fine young man. He's a researcher and a writer in his own right. In fact, I married them several months ago in a kind of a country church out here in Oregon, and they're just a wonderful, delightful Christian young family on the make.
You know, I was wondering, in looking at those pictures today in advance of your interview, if you were in fact the officiant there, and it's good to know it's only right that you were, but I did want to pass that along because I know, just as we are like family here, your staff there with the National Prayer Network is also like family, and that's something, just one of the many reasons we relate with you so well, Reverend Pike. But Winston, I know you've got a lot to talk with Reverend Pike about, so I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you, James. Reverend, when we were talking earlier, you mentioned something that, frankly, I find very disturbing, and it relates to the Tea Party movement. A lot of Americans are casting hopeful glances towards the Tea Party movement to kind of save our country from the steep and slippery slope upon which we find ourselves. Can you tell our listeners what you told me?
Well, yes. I just sent out an e-alert, an article about a week ago, in which I point out that the Reagan Revolution, which began in 1980, was the culmination of literally decades of the hopes of Christians, conservatives, including our family, that we would see a return to Christian constitutional values in this country. We'd put an end to at least 50 years of liberal domination of America. And we were delighted, of course, when Reagan came in. But what happened over the next 15, 20 years was that neocon Zionist Jews primarily got into the White House, surrounded Bush, and of course after 9/11 they were there at his elbow encouraging him to go on a holy war, a holy crusade in the Middle East, basically not just to put down Al-Qaeda and so on, but to make the Mideast safe for Israel. Now, I point out in this article that our founding fathers, such as George Washington, warned us strictly to quote-unquote beware of foreign entanglements. And General Douglas MacArthur also warned that if we ever got involved in a Mideast war, that it could be the end of America. And I think, as I say in this article, George Bush, as a professed evangelical Christian, may have thought that he was going to bless America by blessing Israel and committing American troops to the Middle East, but actually it's turned into one of the greatest curses for America. And I point out that let's not repeat that mistake again. In just a few days, a week or so, we have a big convention down there in your area at the Tea Party Nation Convention at the Gaylord Opryland Hotel. And there, Sarah Palin and probably Joe Farah of WorldNet Daily will be hyping themselves as a, of course, as a presidential or maybe even a vice presidential hopeful, but they are both extremely pro-Israel, extremely pro-Zionist. If we get Zionist candidates, and we are so fortunate as to be successful in 2012, and we have Zionist candidates taking big money from the Jewish lobby and so on, they're only going to repeat exactly the same kind of mistakes that George Bush did, committing America no one win wars even more, maybe all the way through Pakistan and even further Iran and so on. And this will disgrace the Tea Party movement, just as the Republican Party and the Reagan Revolution was disgraced by our involvement in the Mideast.
Reverend Pike, what you're saying is that the Tea Party movement is under assault from neocon Jews. Is that accurate?
Well, I would think they would start moving in fairly soon. The way the international Zionists work, they of course want to dominate, infiltrate both sides of every movement. They want to control the liberals. They want to control the conservatives. And I would think that with the stunning successes of very late in Massachusetts by constitutionalists and Tea Party people around the country, this burgeoning movement will very quickly be infiltrated by these people, not only covertly in influence, but also by infusion of money, which will bring a tremendous commitments in the years ahead to do what they tell us to.
And, you know, none of us want to see harm befallen on Israel, but at the same time, we don't want to support Israel at the expense of America's interests. And let's just be frank about it. Israel's interests and America's interests are completely and utterly incompatible. And when you're talking about blessings and curses, you look at Israel, which is a Zionist state. It's an apartheid state. It came into being again in 1948, and you look at what's happened in America over the course of time since 1948, and there is no way you would ever be able to argue that we have been blessed as a result of our one-sided friendship with Israel. And you look at everything they've given us in return, the way that radical Zionists have predominated in pornography and the filth that comes out of Hollywood and everything else, foreign policies, domestic policies. It has just been, it hasn't been, it's been, well, as Ted Pike's video says it perfectly, it has been an absolutely unholy alliance. And we need to take a look at that long and hard and put America first. But we're going to talk more about that much more, in fact, when the program continues Winston Smith will continue his interview with Reverend Ted Pike, and primarily this evening we are focusing with Reverend Pike on the infiltration, or the infiltration that should soon be forthcoming, of the Tea Party movement by the very same radical Zionists that we are talking about right now. So stay tuned. More to come on the Political Cesspool, thepoliticalcesspool.org, right after this. Ted Pike is with us for the rest of the program. You're going to be in for a treat.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the Political Cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show. I'm James Edwards, along with my co-host Winston Smith. We are interviewing Reverend Ted Pike, certainly a hero for America, and we encourage you to check out his website, truthtellers.org. Reverend Pike, of course, is the executive director of the National Prayer Network, which is a truly constitutional, conservative, and Christian watchdog organization that focuses on hate crimes and other elements of radical Zionist influence in our government. Winston, back over to you and Reverend Pike.
Thanks, James. Reverend Pike, we've talked about neocons. We've mentioned neocons numerous times in our conversation tonight. Now, we know that neocons are Jews, and I'd like to ask you, should we be as wary of a neocon Jew as we should be of the Israel flag-waving Zionist fundamentalist? What are the differences, and can we trust either of them?
Well, I think the neocons have disproportionately great influence in our government, and we see again and again, over at least the last 10 or 15 years, a host of these have migrated to the very top, to cabinet positions literally at the elbows of President, people like Bush, Obama, and so on. And they are certainly very much to be suspect because they have a mantle of conservative values, and yet they're always extremely pro-Israel. And certainly, their greatest influence over the last 10 years, as I said earlier, has been to get Republican, Christian, conservative presidents like George Bush to commit us to making the Mideast safe for Israel, launching us into these no-win wars in the Middle East, which are exhausting us, and there's really no hope in end in sight for them. And on the other hand, the choir that backs up the Israel lobby are something like 50 million evangelicals who are totally in sync with the Zionist agenda of driving the Arabs out of Palestine, taking over the whole region. And then, of course, there's the rabidly anti-Christian so-called civil liberties groups such as the ADL, the Southern Poverty Law Center, ACLU, People for the American, and so on, American Way, they also are a loud chorus. So there are at least three or four major lobbying and attack groups putting pressure for the Tea Party convention. Literally, the Tea Party is going to come under pressure from all of these elements to steer Sarah Palin toward the White House with a very radical a pro-Israel agenda. For example, Palin has made it very clear that she wants to give a green light to a takeover of all of the West Bank by Israeli settlers, these very violent Christian persecuting settlers, and literally push the Arabs out of Palestine. So what I'm suggesting right now is you have a lot of people listening there in the Memphis area, and on February 4th through 6th, the Tea Party Nation Convention will be held at the Opryland, Gaylord Opryland Hotel. I suggest people make up a bunch of signs. Let's get dozens of the listeners to the cesspool down there. This is all part of the American a political mix. There's nothing malicious about this, but let's get out on the sidewalks there and have some bold signs protest. From the very beginning, this attempt by the Zionists to take over the Tea Party movement. In fact, I have just several slogans here. If people would like to jot these down, you could make them quickly into some signs, some sandwich boards, whatever, banners maybe even. Here's just several that came to my mind. Here's one slogan, no more wars for Israel. I'll repeat that, no more wars from Israel would be a good sign to be parading out in front of the Opryland Hotel. Also, no Zionist candidates. No Zionist candidates. Also, another one would be America first, not Israel. That's America first, not Israel. Another one might be America, get out of Mideast. America, get out of Mideast. And I'm sure there's many other slogans people could give there. But the whole world is going to be watching. It's true that the actual press... press passes have been released to a very small number of news agencies, but the whole world now is looking at that convention. They're going to be there, and if patriots and lovers of freedom and lovers of America are out there front with bold signs, just letting the world know that we don't want the Tea Party movement to be pirated, taken away from us by the Israel First people, it'll send a strong message to Sarah Palin, to people like Joe Farah of WorldNet Daily, that there is a very vocal, a very spirited new element in Christian conservative politics that has a different opinion about taking us like lemmings into disaster again into the Middle East.
Well, Reverend Pike, I really appreciate those slogans. Very powerful. But Winston, I got to ask you, did you check the mailbox the day our press passes were supposed to come? I can't believe that they wouldn't issue some press passes to the cesspool crew for this event. I don't know what happened there.
I don't know what their problem is. I mean, we're as legitimate as anybody else.
More legitimate. I'm just that's the point.
Well,
maybe they didn't think we'd fit in there.
I want to ask you this: whenever there's a candidate for office, for a high federal office, that person, of course, gets a investigation like no other person in the world. And if that candidate is found out to be a committed Christian or a devout Christian, that's an absolute negative. It's almost a pejorative. And yet you can traipse into political office as a Jew and nobody will really say anything about it. Why is it that Christians in America have a much more difficult time getting into public office than do Jews?
Well, you see, the Jewish control of the media, control of education, control of Congress, control of finances, control of war-making potential in the government is just almost absolute in this country. And with that kind of power, you see, they're able to define the very the terms of our discussion, the ethical concepts upon which society makes conclusions. They can determine what is love, which means pro-homosexuality. They can determine what is hate, which means criticism of homosexuality or Israel. What is anti-Semitism? All these pivotal terms. And they also can say it's all right to have menorahs up in public, but no Christian crosses can go up in public. They can even influence the Supreme Court, as it did back in the 1980s, to declare in the Pittsburgh case that menorahs don't stand for anything, but a Christian cross stands for involvement of a religion in government, and so it has to be banned in public. And so what they're doing is they're saying the incorporation of synagogue and state is okay, but the involvement or the influence of Christian values and ethics upon government is somehow is mixing religion with politics and is a violation of separation of church and state. So what we're going to have to do, what I'm saying in this latest article at Truth Tellers, and I hope everybody can go there and read it, is I'm saying we have to boldly, from the very, very beginning of this Tea Party movement, We have to make the Tea Party movement not just into another Zionist rubber stamp, pro-Zionist movement. We have to turn it into a total truth movement. I call it the truth-telling party or the whole truth party. We have to, even if we can't get a presidential candidate in, we have to exert real pressure on every race in this country away from unconditional support of Israel toward an America First policy, a policy that returns to a respect for the advice of our founding fathers not to get involved in bottomless quagmires in the Middle East.
And folks, make no mistake, that is exactly the position we find ourselves in. This is a quagmire. It's not wholly unlike what the nation experienced during the Vietnam War. Both conflicts are tragic. We shouldn't be there. We shouldn't have been in either. But once again, we were forced into it. We were tricked into it by unsavory elements, and now we're paying the price. And that price is we're spilling American blood for Israel. And Israel is just fine with that. Every drop of American blood that's spilled is a drop of Israeli blood that doesn't have to fall at all.
Well, Winston, we got to go to break, but you got to be grateful. We gave them a lot of blood and treasure, but they gave us pornography. So, you know, you got to give and take. There's a balance. We'll be back with more right after this. Reverend Pike will conclude. In just a moment.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
You go to our website and you look at our guest list, and you will find the names of a lot of men and women that I respect. But you won't find the name of any man that I respect more than Reverend Ted Pike. He is truly an inspiration, and I believe offers us a textbook of what constitutional and Christian activism should be. And I'm sure he'll remind you before the interview concludes here in just a couple of moments to visit his website, but I want to echo that sentiment as well. Truthtellers.org, www.truthtellers.org. is the website for the National Prayer Network. And Ted Pike, our guest this evening, is their national director. Winston, back over to you for the conclusion of tonight's interview with Reverend Pike and the conclusion of the show.
Thanks, Slathead. Reverend Pike, in conclusion, we talked about the infiltration of the Zionist infiltration of the Tea Party movement. What other projects have you been involved in of late, and what have your successes been?
Well, several months ago, it came to my attention that the Anti-Defamation League had produced a 27-page report alleging that literally millions of anti-Obama patriots are now conspirators, not just believing in conspiracy theory, but actual conspirators doing everything they can to subvert the Obama administration, to take it down, and so on. And, of course, this article is at truthtellers.org. Several months ago, but I was able to sound the alarm, and my article really went viral. In fact, the first three articles I wrote about three that week were up to at least 100 websites and blogs were reproducing those articles. We raised up a firestorm of protest, and in fact, ADL couldn't get any action out of even the liberal media, the pro-Zionist media in America. They were so embarrassed by the absurdity of ADL's charge that millions of political dissenters are now conspirators. And ADL suffered a tremendous setback, a loss of prestige in the country. In fact, some very prominent Jews, including Jeffrey Toobin, who's the editor of Commentary magazine, he absolutely excoriated ADL in a very pivotal commentary article. And also Joel Sprayragin, who was a former vice chairman of the ADL, wrote a blistering article mocking Foxman, Abe Foxman, the head of the ADL. So ADL really, in fact, ADL admitted that nobody accepted their premises, that millions of Americans are now conspirators. And also, I managed to get a relationship going with News with Views, online newspaper, and wrote about five or six articles, which were strong, stiff articles, the same articles that I, in fact, published over at Rents.com. But after about six of those articles, Paul Walter, the owner of News with Views, told me that I couldn't write another article on the subject of the Jews for at least 7 weeks. And that was too much. I told him that, especially, you see, my latest article was a warning about the increasing anti-Christianity in Israel, where the Christians are now being spit upon over there, and these radical ultra-Orthodox Jews are advocating the killing of the Arabs, and Christians are being relentlessly persecuted, especially these Messianic Christians. I wanted to warn the News with Views readers about what was going on in Israel. It's supposedly the only democracy in the Middle East, but one which is denying freedom of religion and freedom of speech. But he wouldn't let me put up the article. He told me that's it on criticism of Israel. So I went very public on that and received a tremendous amount of support for not pulling my punches and compromising and telling only half-truths. So I've been really busy this fall, even after a passage of the federal hate bill. Of course, I worked very hard all summer long trying to back down Obama and get him to veto the hate bill, but that didn't work. Meanwhile, throughout the world, there's increasing anger against Israel, especially with this awful blockade in Gaza. Israel is literally, Israel's prestige in the world is dropping every day as a result of their cruelty toward the Palestinians. And what I'm working for, as you very well know, is to create such suspicion and opposition to these evil Jewish supremacists that they simply can't go forward with their agenda of world domination. There'll just simply be too much criticism, too much opposition. And even though we may be small, you remember in the story of Gulliver how these little Lilliputians were able to tie down Gulliver through all the tiny threads that they put on his body? Well, that's what we can do as patriots and Christians and lovers of freedom. If we all get together, work together, especially in criticism of the ADL, exposure of ADL, I believe God can hold back the evil that we certainly, and the judgment that we certainly deserve as a nation. God can give us national revival and restoration.
You see what I'm talking about, folks? Ted Pike is the prototype. That is a gentleman warrior. And, Ted, I got to tell you, you raised my eyebrows when I heard News with Views, and then you got to the rest of the story. I know your work, and I know their work, and I didn't figure that was going to be a relationship that lasted very long.
Well, it's true. They are very much a pro-Israel. They're not as pro-Israel as WorldNet Daily, but John Stattmiller very strongly recommended me, John Stattmiller of Republic Broadcasting,
right.
And News with Views has been trading time with the Republic, maybe even with the Genesis Network. And so Walter knows there's a pretty big audience developing over here on the far right, if you want to call us that. But he is too timid to really, really speak the whole truth in a consistent way. And I had to break ranks and say I'm not going to crawl through any hoops in order to tell the whole truth.
Well, I appreciate the stand you've taken there, the righteous stand, as it were, and we need more people that'll stick to their guns and refuse to compromise, and thank God you're one of them. Winston, of course, we're getting short on time now. A final word for Reverend Pike.
Well, Reverend Pike, I want to thank you for not just appearing on our broadcast tonight, but for being exactly what James said. You are the prototypical gentleman warrior, Christian gentleman warrior. And I wish you all the best, and I thank you for all of your work on behalf of our people.
Well, thank you so much. I just want to remind our people that it's not just through a political agenda that we're going to save this country. We need to curry favor with Almighty God by a moral transformation of returning in true repentance and true faith and true sincerity toward the one who gave us this marvelous republic. We need to have a national spiritual revival. And believe me, if we do that, if we return to the God of our fathers, he's not going to let this country go down the tubes. He's going to advocate. He's going to make a way where there is no way, even in the political, very vicious political wilderness we live in today. He will be able to hold back the fated judgment, which even Scripture says will come upon the earth someday. So let's unite faith with action. And again, I'd just like to remind our people, especially in the Memphis area, go down to the Opryland Hotel with some big signs. It's February 4th through 6th. There's nothing nasty about this. Just stand out in front with some powerful statements like no more wars for Israel, or no Zionist candidates, or America first, not Israel, or America get out of the Middle East. You can make up some more, I'm sure. But let them know right here at the beginning of the Tea Party movement that there's a strong vocal voice that says we're not going to make the same mistakes as other conservative movements have in the past in letting the Zionists take over this movement and again lead us into more international disasters.
You got your marching orders, folks. Let's get out onto the battlefield, and we'll see you in the trenches. Remember to visit Reverend Pike's website at truthtellers.org, truthtellers.org. And when you're done with that, why don't you stop by and see us at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Reverend Pike, always great to talk to you, and we look forward to doing it again very soon.
Well, thank you so much, James Winston.
Winston, that's about it for the program tonight. Thanks for coming on this week on short notice with the change of schedule, and I just don't think it could have gone any better. And it was a good call you made extending Pike's interview from 30 minutes to 45.
Well, you just can't go wrong with Reverend Pike. There's one thing I would like to say in conclusion, and then I'll leave the air, James. But Reverend Pike brought up this thing that the ADL had put out, essentially declaring millions upon millions of American citizens to be conspirators. Now, it's organizations like the ADL and the SPLC and other organizations of that ilk that accuse people like us of being conspiracy theorists. They love to say that we are conspiracy theorists, and yet they are the ones who see a conspiracy of anti-Semitism around every tree and around every corner.
Well, that's exactly... There's nothing more you can say because we don't have any more time. But we'll talk more about it next week. God bless you, everybody. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.